Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Takes us to a million and trillions and whatever number you want to put there. This word, this logos, this word, this mimra was already there. In fact, what it tells us, that he was eternal. He was eternal. In the beginning, the eternal word was already there. And he is a person. It's very interesting that in 1 Kings chapter 8, we have a verse that is rather interesting, that King Shlomo, King Solomon, asked this question when he was building the temple in the city of Jerusalem. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27, King Solomon said, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Will the eternal God ever be dwelling upon this earth?" Well, this is exactly what we're going to learn from the Gospel of John, that in the beginning was the eternal word, the logos, the mimra, and that this mimra was a person that is soon, according to John 1, he was entering into this world to become, you might say, to take union humanity with his divine nature. The word mimra, or the word thus saith the Lord, is mentioned sometime over 400 times in the Hebrew Tanakh, in the Hebrew scripture. And it's mentioned again and again, the word mimra, ko amar Adonai in Hebrew, is mentioned again and again in the Hebrew text to show us that God spoke. And whenever God speaks, his words is not only that he created all things by the word of his power, but whenever he spoke, he always was speaking in the person of the one of whom we are going to learn, namely the person of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. It is very interesting. We have a verse in Exodus chapter 4, and verse 22, where we read, God said to Moses, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh," notice that, "thus saith the Lord, Ko Amar Adonai." You notice the word Amar, the word say, the word Mimra, the word Davar, God spoke. Whenever God has spoken in eternity, from the time that he created man, whenever he had spoken, he spoken in the person of his Son. And that's Exodus chapter 4, 22 and 5, 1 and so on. We find again and again the word Ko Amar Adonai, thus says the Lord. And that word for logos, for God spoke one, the one that speaks for God, is none else but our Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. So the word davar or mimra is that which is represented here with the Greek word for logos. God spoke, and he spoke in the person of the Son, the Messiah, the person of the Godhead, God the Son. So while in verse 1 we see, first of all, in the beginning was the Word, that he was eternal, he was already there. And then secondly, we find out in verse 1b that the Word was with God. Beloved friend, it is extremely interesting. In the beginning was the Word, in the beginning was the Logos, in the beginning was the Word of God, the Mimra, it's a person, and now this Mimra, this Logos, was with God. So this person that is called Logos in the Greek, Mimra or Davar in the Hebrew, is a distinct person from God. So what we really have in verse 1a and verse 1b, the fact that that person, which is called Logos or Mimra, who was there in eternity past, who is eternal, he is also a distinct person from God. And of course we know that he is a distinct person from God the Father and God the Son in light of the passages that we have already read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 11 verses 6 and 7 and Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. He is a distinct person. In the beginning was the Word, he is eternal. And the Word was with God, he is distinct from God. He is distinct person from God the Father. He is distinct person from God the Spirit, because he is God the Son, the eternal Son of God. But then notice, thirdly, in the very same verse, verse 1, the third portion of this verse helps us to understand that he was not only eternal, and that this Word, this Mimra, this Logos, was not only eternal, not only distinct person from God, but it continues and it tells us, and the Word was God. This is very interesting. The same one that was eternal, verse 1a, and the same one that was distinctive from God, verse 1b, this is the one that is also God. And the Word and the Logos and the Mimra and the Davar was divine. He was God. You see, beloved friend, this is exactly the reason why the Apostle Yohanan John gives us this gospel supplementing to the Matthew, Mark, and Luke gospel. Is giving us this gospel that presents the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, as a divine person. In the beginning was the Word, he is eternal. And the Word was with God, he is distinct from God. And the Word was God, he is a divine person. It is so beautiful to understand these beloved brothers and sisters. Now, if you may please, just to elaborate a little bit about it, notice that in the book of Proverbs, in Hebrew we call the book of Proverbs Mishle, it was a proverb that King Shlomo, the king of Solomon, the king of Israel, wrote this book of Proverbs, and he wrote about wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 8, he's speaking about wisdom personified. In other words, he is applying wisdom, which you and I usually look at wisdom as one person might be wise and have wisdom. But here in Proverbs chapter 8, King Shlomo present before us wisdom personified. Really, he is speaking about the eternal Son of God who was existing long before creation came to be. And so in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22 we read, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was." When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundation of the earth, we read here in verse 29, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Look at this beautiful wisdom personified. I was by him, as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And notice he continued in verse 31 of Proverbs chapter 8, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. You notice, ladies and gentlemen, it says in Hebrew, Sha'ashu'ai et bnei Adam. I delighted so much with the sons of men. And you can see what we learn from here, that the pre-incarnate Mashiach of Israel and Savior of the world had a delight in the sons of men. That's why we read in Genesis 1:26 where the God had said, let us make men in our own image after our own likeness. Because my delight were with the sons of men. In Hebrew it's beautiful. Sha'ashu'ai et bnei Adam. In other words, le'sha'asher in Hebrew, delight is I would love to, as if it were, to play with them and enjoy them and have fellowship with them. But sadly, men fell into sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which made it necessary for God to say, I love men. For God so loved the world. He loved the world, beloved friends, so much that he gave his one and only Son, the Mashiach. God the Son was given for us to redeem us back to God. We who have gone away from him, sin have crept into the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and plunged the whole human race into sin. And therefore you and I are sinners who need to be saved. And that's why the Messiah was born, and the Messiah came to this world so he will die. And that's why we read, but these are written that ye might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You shall call his name Yeshua, translated into the Greek Jesus, brought into the English Jesus. But Yeshua means Jehovah the Savior, God who became a man to save and to seek and to save them which were lost. And he surely came. In the beginning was the Word. He is eternal. And the Word was with God. He is a distinct person from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And the Word was God, his divine nature. He is God the Son. Beautiful, beloved, a friend, as we read these texts together and read it. And you notice, to believe that he is God, you remember what Isaiah said to us through promising to the people of Israel that when the Messiah going to enter into this world, he will be more than just another man. I show you a sign, the Lord said. Hear ye now, O house of David, Isaiah 7 verse 13. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? We read, therefore, in verse 14, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the Alma, the virgin, shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Immanuel, God with us. Clearly in the Hebrew text. Very, very important for us to understand it. Isaiah continued to give Israel the hope of the coming of the Messiah. For unto us a child is born. This is Bethlehem, the birth of the Messiah. Unto us a son is given. This is the one, the eternal God, the Son, who was always there in eternity past. And he's going to come. And when he's going to come the first time, he will suffer and die for the sin of the world. But when he's going to come at the second coming, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Verse 6 of Isaiah 9. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, El Gibor, the Everlasting Father, or the Father of Eternity. He is the source of eternity, and the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. And then he continued in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David, now as a man that's going to come to this earth at his second coming, after he came once to die and he will come again to reign, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever, God said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It is found in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Very clear. He was eternal. He was distinct from God the Father and God the Spirit. And he was divine. He was God. This is the eternal Word, the eternal Logos, the eternal Davar, the eternal Mimra. When God speaks, he always spoke in the person of the Son. That's why the Logos is that which the philosophers, the Greek philosophers, understood as they were using the Greek to provide the gospel message to all the people of the world. And in the Greek, the word Logos simply means a non-personal force, a non-personal power source. You might say the invisible one became visible. And whenever God spoke, he was speaking in the person of the Son. Now, if you just jump with me for a moment to verse 14, this is the fourth time, beloved friends, that the word Logos, or Word, or Mimra in Hebrew, is mentioned in the Gospel of John. Three times in verse 1, and one time in verse 14. John 1:14, and the Logos, and the Word, and the Mimra became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The beautiful lesson that we learn here, that this eternal God, this distinct person from God the Father and God the Spirit, this God the Son became a man. And the Word was made, or the Word became correctly flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 1 of John chapter 1, we learn that in the beginning, not the beginning of the incarnation here, not the beginning of creation here, but in the beginning of all beginnings, whatever number of years you want to put here, in eternity past, he, the Logos, the one that spoke, he was there. Fascinating. It is important for us to take note of it, because Scripture teaches us that God is eternal. In Psalm 90, we read in verse 1 and 2, a prayer of Moshe, the man of God. Lord, Moses has said, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world. Listen to this. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Me'olam ad olam ata el. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, and that eternal God the Son, as we read in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, who can fathom that? Who can grasp this truth that God the Son became a man? The divine enter humanity. This is very, very important to grasp, and it's hard for the human race to understand. It is only possible as the Holy Spirit of God opened this truth unto us. There's a verse, it's found in Hebrews, the New Testament, chapter 1 and verse 1 says, God, who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Sonwise, God spoke to us when he sent God the Son to enter humanity to become a man. This is fascinating, beloved brothers and sisters, beloved friend. Notice what it says in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 1. But unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, is anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He's quoting Psalm 45, verses 6, 7, and 8. But notice we read, unto the Son, this God the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. This is so beautiful to grasp, that the one that came to this world, who was there in the beginning, was the Word. He was eternal. He was distinct from God the Father and God the Spirit, and he was a divine person, God the Son. Beautiful to see, beloved brothers and sisters. Just one more verse about the eternal God the Son. We read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and that he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. This is the true God and eternal life. Often I heard in early days, before I came to know Yeshua the Messiah as my Lord, Mashiach, and Savior, I had so much trouble to grasp the fact that here we have Yeshua, Jesus, is more than just another man. He was eternal. He was distinct from God the Father and God the Spirit. And he was God, God the Son. Three persons in the Godhead, yet one God. Not three God, but one God. And so in verses 1 and now verse 2 of John chapter 1, we find out that he was eternal. He is the eternal Word. He is the Logos. And then we find out also in verse 2, and the same was in the beginning with God. It seems to be that the Apostle John wanted to emphasize the fact that he was in the beginning. He was with God. Notice twice he used the word in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, verse 1 says that. And then verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. And this is wonderful to realize why we must understand not only the triunity of the Godhead, one God, three persons, but also the divine nature of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, because if he was not divine, he could never pay for the price of the sin of this world. And so we enjoy these first two verses, but it was essential to understand in verses 1 and 2 the eternal existence of the Word, the Logos, the Mimra, which is none else but our Lord Jesus, our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Well, may the Lord help us as we continue to study this wonderful book of the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Yohanan, who present the divine nature of the person of Yeshua, Jesus, our Lord and our Messiah. Well, God bless you, my dear friend, and may the Lord encourage our hearts to be thankful that we have a Savior, we have a Messiah, we have the person that saved us, who is more than just another man, but he is God the Son. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless his word. And we say for now, shalom, shalom. God bless you.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.